This is VOA News. Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrne. Zambia's first president, Kenneth Kaunda, has died at the age of 97. Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
Kenneth Kaunda served as the first president of the Southern African nation of Zambia after it gained independence from Britain in 1964. He held the post until 1991. But his influence goes much wider, says Ghana-based lawyer Sarfo Abrebrese, who heads the Coalition of Supporters Unions of Africa.
Kenneth Kaunda continued with the fight against colonialism and played a leading role in discipling the lives of Nelson Mandela, the lives of Robert Mugabe, the lives of Sam Nujoma, and others. His legacy lasts not in a lifetime, but it lasts forever.
Like fellow post-independence leaders Julius Nyerere of Tanzania and Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe, Kaunda began his career as a teacher before shifting to politics. Kaunda remained active after his retirement, campaigning with HIV/AIDS organizations as an elder statesman in his country and the region. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Former President Laurent Gbagbo returned home to Ivory Coast on Thursday, a decade after his refusal to concede defeat in a presidential election sparked months of violence that left more than 3,000 people dead. Gbagbo was extradited to the International Criminal Court at The Hague in 2011 and spent 8 years awaiting trial on war crimes charges. A judge acquitted him in 2019, saying prosecutors had failed to prove their case. Prosecutors appealed the verdict, but a court upheld it in late March, clearing the way for Gbagbo to leave Belgium, where he has spent the past 2 years. On Thursday, police in Abidjan used tear gas to disperse Gbagbo's supporters as they gathered along the route that the former Ivory Coast president was set to travel after his arrival back home. This is VOA News. The U.S. Supreme Court has dismissed a challenge to the Obama-era health care law, AP's Ben Thomas reports.
By a 7-2 vote, the justices left the entire law intact, ruling that Texas, other Republican-led states, and two individuals had no right to bring their lawsuit in federal court. The law's major provisions include protections for people with pre-existing health conditions, a range of no-cost preventative services, and the expansion of the Medicaid program that insures lower-income people, including those who work in jobs that don't provide health insurance. Also left in place is the law's now toothless requirement that people have health insurance or pay a penalty. Congress rendered that provision irrelevant 4 years ago when it reduced the penalty to zero. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Iran's nuclear deal with world powers hangs in the balance as the country prepares to vote Friday for a new president, and diplomats press on with efforts to get both the United States and Tehran to re-enter the accord. The deal represents the signature accomplishment of the relatively moderate President Hassan Rouhani's 8 years in office, suspending crushing sanctions in exchange for strict monitoring and limiting of Iran's uranium stockpile. The deal's collapse after President Donald Trump's decision to withdraw the United States from the agreement in 2018 spiraled into a series of attacks and confrontations across the wider Middle East. Japan said Thursday it would ease emergency coronavirus curbs in 9 prefectures, including Tokyo, while keeping some measures amid concerns that next month's Olympics could trigger a surge in infections. Reuters' Emer McCarthy reports.
A number of measures, including limiting spectator numbers at big events, will remain in a bid to avoid any rebound in cases at the Games due to start on July 23rd. Polls have shown most Japanese people are worried about the possibility that the Games will spread infections, particularly as vaccination rates are still lower than in other wealthy countries. Media reported that the government was considering allowing up to 10,000 spectators in stadiums during the Games, in line with a plan endorsed by health experts on Wednesday for events.
That's Reuters' Emer McCarthy. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits rose last week for the first time since April, despite widespread evidence that the economy and the job market are rebounding steadily from the pandemic recession. The Labor Department said Thursday that unemployment claims rose 37,000 from last week to 412,000. Weekly applications had dropped for 6 straight weeks, and economists had expected another dip last week. Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrd, VOA News.